That is Scotty Jensen of the Jetsons Band knocking it out of the park with his brand new song, Connective Issues. Brand new on our website, jensongs.net. That's jensongs.net. This is the Scott and Scott podcast. Scott I. Ross and Scott E. Jensen.
Contact How are you there, Scott I. Ross?
Good. How are you, Jensen?
Pretty good. There I go with the pretty again.
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, we could talk about that. Let's get the contact information out of the way. 818-538-8490 is our phone number. 818-538-8490. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us about us. We'll use it on the air, whatever the case may be. If you want to email us directly, it's turnkeyselling@gmail.com. That's turnkeyselling@gmail.com. And you will find our exclusive four original albums on jensongs.net. jensongs.net. Now, Scotty Jensen, the new song you just did is called Connective Issues, right?
Right. I have to correct you on one situation already.
Okay.
Which is just that this song is the song from both of us, not just me. We both wrote it.
Scotty Jensen!
Brand new song by Scott Jensen. Well, it's actually from Scott Ross. Scott Jensen and Scott Ross.
Okay, well, I really appreciate you saying that. That's really nice. But really, let's face it, the talent is all Scotty Jensen. The performance is all Scotty Jensen. Well, you know, but I do appreciate you saying that. And what he's probably talking about, folks, is we have a very interesting way that we write these songs. A few months ago, Scotty Jensen was on a vacation with his family up by the Wisconsin Dells. He owns some property up there, right?
Right.
And Scotty Jensen has a way of disappearing. You know, Scotty Jensen uses technology in a way that the best analogy I can use, it would be like if 50 years ago your parents used your TV set for a mirror. Did you ever do that where somebody like combed their hair into the TV set to see the reflection?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
I call it opposite technology. In other words, Scotty Jensen likes to use technology basically in the exact opposite way that it was intended. So the fact that he's got a cell phone, email, chat line, Facebook, regular landline, you know, Scotty Jensen would always say, like, hey, I can't really call you right now. I'm in Wisconsin. I'm having, quote, connective issues, right?
Right. You know, believe it or not, I'm still having connective issues. My darn phone is having some major problems.
Yeah, well, like I said, remember your grandfather back in about 1970? He would be adjusting his clothes into the TV set to see his reflection. That's how Scotty Jensen likes to use technology when it comes to communicating, not recording. When it comes to recording, he's one of the best at-home, you know, individual recording artists I've ever heard because, see, Scotty Jensen does all the vocals, all the writing of the song, all of the musical parts, the recording, the whole thing. But what he was trying to say, which is nice, is that I take that connective issues, right, Scott? You kept saying that over and over again.
Right.
I'd send him these emails like, you know, obviously we're not in a group anymore. This business is gone. You won't even return any emails, calls, nothing. He'd send back, well, I'm having connective issues. My cell phone's not working right out here. Then
my texting wasn't working well. Yeah.
Then a week later it turns into, well, I'm kind of on a retreat right now, which I didn't know. And it goes from connective issues to I'm on a retreat and we agree we're not going to do a lot of speaking or talking to anyone. I'm like, okay, where did that come from? So it went from a one-week vacation. Okay, you got to understand.
Here's the thing, man. What I was trying to do is, since I had all these connective issue problems, I figured I might as well make the best of it and turn it into a retreat.
Yeah, right. So basically, make a long story short. So the interaction between Scotty Jensen and myself produces what we believe is very interesting, not only songs and music, but this particular show and other things that hopefully one day we're going to do. We're working on a couple of books and all these things that hopefully one day we'll finish. But what I did then was then I start thinking, and I come up with a concept for a song called Connective Issues. And I sent him an email. I go, I'm working on a song now called Connective Issues. And that's all I say.
Right.
Then I start doing my thing, and then I came up with that basic chorus.
No, but first, and then I'd be like, hey, man, what's your problem?
Yeah, right. And so I take...
You're like, no, it's a new song idea. You inspired a song idea.
Yeah. So it goes from a tense, stressful situation, negative, into a song. And so then I send him a recording, and I say, look, I think we got a song here with Connective Issues. I sing some of the parts the way I think it should be. Then Scott takes it and finishes. Now, Scott, you've got a song here called Connective Issues that I think you basically coined a new phrase in the music business. We've all heard the term retro. Now, what retro means is going back. So retro essentially means if you do a song today that sounds, let's say, 1970s, 1980s, it would be called retro. That's in the music business. Well, Scotty Jensen has coined a new phrase called retro now. With connective issues, you come up with a song that definitely has retro parts to it as far as the music and the instrumental and the vocals. But then, Scott, you come back with that chorus, and I'll play it again for the people, of connective issues. That is more of a today, a now kind of chorus.
Yeah,
how did you blend the quote? How did you blend the retro with the now?
I think with the retro, sometimes in today's music scene, if you use an electric guitar, you know, people tend to automatically put it into this retro category because, you know, face it, a lot of the musicians and songs that come out today really don't have much electric guitar. You know,
right.
It's the guitar. It's dance oriented and a lot of keyboards and you know, sequencers and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, bringing electric guitars back into the mix, you know, with regular steady drum beat could give a retro
sound. A retro sound.
Yeah.
But you blended it. Well, here, let me explain it better here, okay?
Okay.
Now, when you listen to that, folks, when you hear this connective issues, the chorus, that last part, Scott,
right.
That's what I say is more of a now chorus. You brought the vocals up straight right in your face. But if you listen to everything that came up to that part, retro people love it. You want to know why?
Why?
Well, you're not just playing it. Scotty Jensen saying that it's retro only because, what, electric guitar? There's a little bit more retro going on there. And that's good, Scott, because some people really like that, okay, retro. The
well,
way
I'm not really, I don't mean to be putting it down if it sounded like I was.
No, yeah, no, well, yeah. He thinks I'm putting him down. He thinks it's a put down when I say retro. It's not. The way the vocals track, the way you sing the verse, that's a real retro type of way of the way songs used to be. Call it the long format of songs. If you go back into the 70s and the 80s, not only that, but then you listen to the harmonies and the ooh-ops and the different things you're putting in there, which is extremely retro. But what really blows my mind is then you come back to the chorus of you only blame it on connective issues, you only blame it on connective issues. That's a now kind of chorus where the vocals are up louder, you brought the music down, right? And the vocals are right in your face with that chorus, right?
Right, that's true. That's true.
That's a today thing. Then if you listen, folks, to the song, and if you go on gentsongs.net, volume 4, listen to the song. You can buy any one of our four albums. It's only $9.99 for a download. But the point is you have to listen to it over and over and over again like I have, because then at the end, Scott, you combine what I call retro now, meaning you then take the connective issues chorus. And then
right.
You start putting in these harmonies and ooh-ops and boop-ops, and which is the retro I'm talking about.
Right.
You found a way to combine.
Yeah, it's like trying to pull a lot of the influences and toss them in, like in a salad, you know, like a tossed salad, and see what kind of you know, recipe you come up with, you know.
Well, you did it with this. There's no question about it.
Well,
that
thanks.
This song.
Wow.
And as Scott and I talk about, we don't know ultimately long-term what songs will everybody love, what songs will people buy, what songs will other artists want to license from us, because that's a big part of why we're doing this. But I can tell you right now that when you listen to Connective Issues, there's a lot going on here, a lot of work involved, a lot of emotion, and a lot of crossing over of, I would say, the 70s and the 80s retro with today, 2015. And I just think that you have to listen to this song, Scott, 3, 4, 5, 10 times to be able to do it. Now, you can listen to it once or twice for free on our website, but then buy the album. You know, it's only $9.99 for you. You get 10 songs. It's like 99 cents a song. You got to listen to it. It's, remember in the old days, Scott, in the 70s and 80s, we would listen to the albums over and over and over and over to figure them out?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's...
Another funny thing about it, you know, in the retro days, when the albums first came out, were coming out, some of them were only a half hour long. You know?
Exactly. But what I'm saying is that's the retro part.
At each, you know, right. 4 or 5 minutes long, you know, that's a lot of music.
It's a lot of music, and so that's the retro part of this that we're talking about, folks, is you have to listen to the song over and over and over and over like you did with the Beatles and these other songs. That's retro because you don't really know what's going on the first couple, 2, 3 times you hear it, Scott. You miss half of what's going on in Connective Issues.
I know. That's what's very interesting about it, I find.
Now, if you go back to some of our other songs, like listen to...
Your voice get really quiet there.
Well, there was just a really cool effect that went on the... Jimmy Holt back at the studio, or what's his name again? Jimmy what?
Yeah, that's right. Take it easy, Jimmy.
Yeah, Sue Holt back in our studio, and Jimmy Holt, he's down at...
Sue Olsen married Jimmy Holt?
Oh, that's right, Sue Olsen, I'm sorry. But what I'm saying is... When you listen to some of our other songs, like let's say In the Middle of Persecution, you'll find you have to go through all of the songs. You can hear them all for free and then buy the album. But if you listen to some of those songs, those are really pure, fresh, today, boom songs.
Right.
But this
those
song
don't even have drums in them.
But some of the that's right. And Scott Jensel's using what we call a shindle drumming approach on this song. Now, the shindle is...
I saw that one.
When you... Folks, what the shindle is, do you hear the different, like, beats Scott starts... I'm getting some serious effect on here. Can you hear that?
I just heard the voice cut out there again,
okay.
And I heard my voice echo.
Well, folks, you got to understand something, okay? I'm on the West Coast in the L.A. area, and then we're sending this through a satellite to our producers, Jimmy Holt and Sue Olsen, back in New York, who take the feed, throw it through a South African satellite system, back through England and London, through Chicago to Scotty Jensen. So if we have a
right,
little...
So we're bound to have some connective issues, you know?
Yeah, we're going to have some connective issues. But I guess the point I'm trying to say is that when you listen to Connective Issues and you listen to the drums, the shindle is where you start adding all these different drum beats and these sounds that you can hear on the cymbals. Now, the thing that I want to say, Scott, is to people that don't know, that's you playing all of that stuff.
Right.
And we have not done that strong of a job explaining to people that. So this is the song that it's time to come out of the closet. How the hell do you play the drums, the bass, the guitar, the lead vocal, the harmony vocals, the background vocals, the bass guitar, and how do you play all the instruments and sing all the parts?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. It's like the Republican debates, you know. Interesting question you have.
That's an interesting question. Well, here, hey, Scott, think about it. Let's get a little...
Time to think about it?
You know, I'm going to say, take a second to think about it while we go back.
Okay.
You see, all of that right there, folks, is all Scotty Jensen. When he's saying blame it on connective issues, and then there's the then you come back with those blame it on connective issues, and that is a very retro sound, and that's a very positive thing, Scott, because it makes people feel like they're listening in the 70s or the 80s, and people still love that music, you know.
Right.
I mean, Mick Jagger.
You know, when we try to do our retro stuff, you'll notice that on some of our earlier retro stuff, there are some guitar solos, and some of the newer ones don't necessarily have guitar solos.
Right. Well, that's retro definitely has guitar solos. You're right.
I mean, Connective Issues has some guitar riffs, so you can actually hear some electric guitar riffs in there and doing little, you know, licks here and there, but no real solos because the vocals are really doing all the solos, whether it be, you know, there's kind of like another chorus in there. We kind of have a baby chorus playing in there, too.
Right.
You'll notice.
But the question is, how do you do all the parts? Now, we've heard of a few musicians who do that. There's very few people in the world who do everything. I mean, there's very almost none. You're one of the only ones I've checked who do every single part on it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We've heard about musicians like Phil Collins, and we've heard about musicians like McCartney, and we've heard about musicians like, well, all kinds of people. But you do every single thing. If you had to sum it up, how do you do that?
Besides the, excuse me, the overdubbing effect where I could play a track and then add to it, that's what they call overdubbing in the studio. I have to put myself in each musician's frame of mind. You know, if I'm playing lead guitar, I can't think as a bass player. If I'm playing bass, I can't think as a lead player. Excuse me. I have to actually, sometimes it takes some time just to get into the groove and think as that specific musician that you're trying to perform as.
Okay, so for those of you out there that are either... Okay.
You know, so it doesn't sound so parallel. Everything can sound so parallel if you think of everything the same way. So you have to become a different musician for every instrument you're playing. That's probably my best way of explaining
it. All right, so what you're saying to all those people out there that A, just are interested in how it's done, or B, want to do it themselves, Scotty Jensen basically has to put himself in a different mindset when he's playing the bass, when he's playing the drums, when he's playing the guitar, the keyboard.
Absolutely.
And that's the key to being able to do it. And that's probably why a lot of people can't do it, Scott, because they say in sports, like, the best players don't become the best coaches. And in the music business, the best singers, the best players don't always become the best producers either, because they can't do what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
The best coaches, the best managers, the best producers are able to put themselves in each artist's position, like you said, the bass player, the drums, whatever. And Scotty Jensen, the ability to do that is phenomenal, which I believe later on we will be able to produce other people, where Scotty Jensen will produce your band or your group or your whatever, or just you, because he can do that and he can put himself into all of those shoes. So when you finish a song like that, do you have a tendency to listen to the things that you don't like about it, or do you listen to the things you do like about it?
Well, it's a process of both, actually, because sometimes you have to, after you have so much, you have to think in that frame of mind of less is more. So even though that particular song has a lot of different instruments, a lot of different things going, there were certain tracks that I had to just turn down and not play for a period of time, because after a while it just becomes such a wall of sound that it'll take away a little bit of the intimacy of certain parts or whatever.
Right.
So, and then the other thing is, as a producer, for example, the same kind of thing is when you're playing each instrument, you have to kind of become that instrument.
Yes.
Or that certain musician. When you're a producer, now you have to listen to everything and try to have... When you're playing every instrument, it's kind of like you always want that instrument to be heard. You know, any musician that's been in the studios recorded, whether it be a bass player, drummer, whatever, they're like, hey, man, you know, I can't really hear myself in the mix, you know. So now what's kind of funny is when I'm the musician playing all the parts, and now I have to mix it down. I actually have to turn down certain parts that I wanted to be heard, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then turn up other parts that I want to make sure that a certain mood is captured and all this
yes.
kind of thing. So it's amazing, really, how many different hats you have to put on to pull off, finishing, writing and recording and then producing it and you know, finishing it up finally and being pleased with it. You know, there's many hats to wear.
Yeah,
but
and
it's very exciting though when you finally get to that. To that part, but this song was a little on the draining side for me, as you know, because it kind of took me a while to get into certain moods and characters, if you have it, you know.
Yeah, well, that's
we'll
because
that
there's a lot going on, and so when there's that much going on, I could understand it. You know, when I hear the song now, it's much easier for me to understand that.
And of course, not all songs will have so much either. You know,
no, that's what I'm trying to say.
Songs ask for a little more here, a little more production here, and then other songs are just, you know, the stripped down versions sometimes have the most intimacy and say more. You know, that's what they say. Sometimes less is more. You know.
Well, that's right. But if you want to be taken on sort of a trip, a journey, and you kick back and you're listening to this song and you listen to it over and over and over again, you kind of feel like you're in some kind of a, and I'm talking about totally sober, straight, no drugs, alcohol or anything. Those of you who use other things to enhance things will even get it more, but it sort of takes you on this trip, kind of like I feel like after I hear the song that you know, I just went somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I like that. I really do.
I feel like you're taking me through this sort of journey, and it's like, what's so funny about this song is I wanted this song to keep going, and I'm the one who's tried to tell you keep it below 4 minutes.
Wow, cool.
And this one I wanted to keep going because it gets you into that, you know, I don't know, dreamland, or there's some kind of feel, and that's a big part of the retro feel is like when you listen to the Beatles, when you listen to Led Zeppelin, these are all retro, Scott, okay? Beatles, Led Zeppelin. When you listen to these different groups, the Rolling Stones, you feel like you kind of, they took you on a trip. They took you on a journey through that song.
Right.
That's what I would consider the retro feel conceptually, not the actual instruments or anything, but you feel like you're going on a trip. You feel like you're going on a journey, and we haven't been willing to really talk a lot about you doing all the parts up until now, because you're not that kind of ego guy that wants to, you know, you're not looking for credit for that. But I think it's time to explain to people how important that is when you hear that you're getting you, Scotty Jensen, in all those different parts.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the attention on that, you know.
Well, look, a lot of people, you know, you listen to an artist, you don't always know who's playing bass, drums, and all that. You know that. They use studio musicians a lot.
Right.
And so, but in this particular case, it's intimate because it would be like, pick your favorite artist, Bruno Mars or Taylor Swift, and when you know she played every instrument and she played every part, or he did, it's more intimate because you feel like that's that artist talking to you, even if they're not singing.
That's true. You know, I find that I feel I connect more if I find out some musician, let's say, played most of the instruments on an album or a record or something like that, it does really intrigue me, you know, when I listen to it, because I'm like, wow, you know, he became this musician and became this, and this is the band inside his own head, you know, which is kind of cool.
That's why it's called...
You all these people, it's like, this person is that band.
Well, that's why...
I saw a video years ago where Paul McCartney... formerly from the Beatles and Wings, and now he's doing a tour across America again.
Yes.
For some of the people out there might know who he is.
There are people who don't. There are young people who don't know who he is.
Right. And so I saw a video of him many years ago, since he played all the instruments. They had a video of him, you know, dressed up like the early days of the Beatles, black and white photo, and where he was actually playing all the instruments.
Wow.
Which was kind of interesting because on the record, he did. So when you're listening and you're looking at him actually playing bass and playing guitar and playing piano and drums, you're watching it and realizing, wow, technically that is really what it looked like. You know?
Well, that's one of the reasons Bruno Mars, live in concert, plays a lot of different instruments in concert to let people know that as well. And sometimes he'll start out playing the drums, sometimes he'll start out playing the guitar, sometimes he'll start out singing. And I think that that's very important because when people know it's you playing, let's say, the drums, or they know it's you or Bruno Mars or whoever it is also playing the guitar on that part, it becomes very interesting, because now you know that even when they're not singing, every single part is still them saying to you whatever they're trying to say, or whatever Scotty Jensen, and that's why it's called Scott E. Jensen, the Jensongs Band. That's the reason that it's the name is that, because of this. And so what I wanted to find out, because a lot of people have asked me this question, is when you do all these parts, do you forget sometimes, like, who you are, or are you always aware that you are the person playing all these parts, or does it ever get confusing?
No, you're saying how the song kind of takes you on a journey. When I'm recording and I'm doing each individual track, it's taking me on a journey too, because for one, I'm not sure where I'm going, and I'm not sure where the song is taking me, because I'm kind of feeling along with the song and I'm playing what the song is telling me to play.
Right.
It's like not an ego part. Like I said, I told you before and told some other people, I like playing guitar solos, but not many of the songs lately have been asking for guitar solos, so
right.
I don't do it. I just do what the song is asking for.
Right.
So when I'm the bass player, I'm on this little bass player journey. I'm going along, and I'm like, where is he going? This is kind of cool. Sometimes it interests me a lot where I felt like I just went somewhere. It's like, wow, that was cool.
It's interesting you say that, because if you listen to a song called I Unfriended My Brother, which is on the same new album, Jensongs.net, Jensongs 4, I Unfriended My Brother, that's a song that from the very first second you start singing that song to the end, it sounds like a continuous, like a sewing needle that was sewing stitches that never stopped. It seems like it just completely, perfectly fits completely together. And in that song, if you stopped and did a guitar solo, you would almost interrupt that tight spiral, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
Because that song just sort of, the vocals themselves become the lead in that song. The vocals themselves become, I don't know how to explain it, but folks, but listen to I Unfriended My Brother, compare it to Connective Issues, and I think you'll see what Scott's saying is certain songs that he does will call for certain things that he does. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Like in some of the earlier songs, like Come Back Tomorrow Come Back Tomorrow, for example, or Love Is On The Way. These are a couple ballads, and the song says so much, but it gets to a point where it's just like this emotional thing. You're already following through in the emotion, and then as you're just kind of meditating, it feels like all of a sudden this little guitar solo comes in. Not a flashy guitar solo, but just it's a mood guitar solo,
It's a mood,
other words,
yeah.
That takes you on this little journey too, And so
that's true, because if you listen to if you listen to what he's saying, folks, on Jensongs 2, Come Back Tomorrow, I think you're using a nylon string guitar lead on that one, if I'm correct.
An acoustic guitar, yeah.
An acoustic. Guitar. And he does a lead on there that has a feeling to it of piano. It's not what you would call a basic guitar lead, and it has a kind of a haunting sound to it.
Right. It's like used more for the sound effect and the tonality rather than the flashiness,
Plus, if you listen to that song, he keeps saying, come back tomorrow, I can't wait another day. Come back tomorrow, I can't wait another day. Now, who can't relate to that?
Right, because I need you today.
Because I need you, yeah. And that could be a father or mother waiting for their son to come back from the war. That does not have to be just a girlfriend or a boyfriend. That could be you're waiting, you want your dog to come back from the animal hospital. I mean, come back tomorrow, I can't wait another day. Every time I hear that song, and I've had other people that have wrote us emails in the last couple of weeks, because it was on Facebook, somebody put the video for Come Back Tomorrow on Facebook, and the video for I can't remember the other one. And I got some comments about that when they listen to you sing Come Back Tomorrow, they think of a situation in their life that they were waiting day after day after day for people to come back. That could be to come out of the hospital,
Right.
Who can't relate to Come Back Tomorrow? I can't wait another day.
Right. And, of course, when it comes to even relationships too, if people split up for a while or they separate and then, you know, they decide they're going to get back together, you know, that anticipation of wanting that person back, you know, that same type of thing, yeah.
Well, of course, I totally acknowledge that. But what I'm trying to tell you is we're getting comments with that song in all of those areas, from an animal dog to a hospital visit to a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife breakup, all the way to my son is in the Marines, and I just can't wait another day for him to come back from Iraq.
Right.
So I'm just trying to say it's so amazing how the concept of baby, come back tomorrow, I can't wait another day. I mean, come back tomorrow because I need you today.
Right.
Is universal.
Right, and it's kind of like you're not saying come back now, you know, because the now is like already here, you know. So you're anticipating the future, and the closest future after now would be tomorrow, you know. So
that's true.
Come
and,
back
and,
as soon as possible.
And it's funny because
it's got to be tomorrow.
Come back tomorrow doesn't have the same retro elements that we're talking about of connective issues. Come back tomorrow could be a ballad today that Taylor Swift or any of these people would do. So it's so interesting how Scottie Jensen could go from these different time periods, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s, 2015, and then mix them up together in a way that I would only call Scottie Jensen, the Jensongs band.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Blows my mind, and I'm sure if everybody's listening out there, the combination. Now, that was the start of the song. We hadn't heard that yet, Scott. I didn't play the very, very beginning of the song.
Okay.
The opening, folks. That was the first opening. I hadn't played that yet. I'm doing it in reverse today. I'm sort of playing them the beginning of it at the end of the show because what's interesting, I call that the let it go type of opening, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
There's a real, like, I feel like I'm letting go when I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Something, you know, all of a sudden the song just starts and the bass comes in and then you start doing what we call the shindo, which is the added percussion, right? You know, you got that extra, you got the drums going and then
yeah,
you got
right.
that extra cymbal going, which we call, right, the shindo. It's amazing how much you like the shindo where you always used to complain about the shindo because you wanted more basic beats. Maybe when you play the drums for many years, it's so boring you have to go shindo, you know what I mean?
Well, when you do it yourself, you could actually make it be a little more the way you want.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, Scott, it's extremely boring because Scottie Jensen would take me at 14 years old. He taught me how to play the drums. What I didn't realize is I would have to play the same thing for like 4 hours so he could work out what he wanted to do on the guitar, remember, in my basement?
Yes.
Well, in my parents' basement. I hate people who say, well, we own this house when it's like their parents who own it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it wasn't my house. It was my parents' house. And so I'm like, Scott. And he would yell at me. He'd go, keep the same pace. Don't slow down. Don't speed up. And I would get so bored, remember?
Yeah.
I go, Scott, I'm playing the same thing for 3 hours. He goes, well, man, that's what it takes. And Scott used to talk different back then. He'd be like, well, man, that's what it takes, man, to produce excellent tunes. And I'd be like, what did you say? And he had long, long hair. I mean, Scott's hair was all the way down to his knees. Straight.
Yeah, well, I had to trim it after a while when I kind of started tripping over it on my knees.
Well, girls really liked his hair because he was one of these guys with straight, perfect hair. And chicks always liked that. And it was like this real long hair, and he'd be standing there, and I couldn't always see him if he turned around the other way. And then I'd stop playing, and he'd go, what the hell are you doing? Scott's just a little bit more aggressive back then than he is today. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you can't just stop. He goes, it's like having
in the middle of a jam, man. You don't just stop.
Yeah, you don't just stop.
Well,
he goes,
I've been doing it for, you know, the last 20 minutes and just playing the same thing.
Exactly. He goes, it's like sex. He's like sex, Scott.
Yeah.
He's like sex. If you're going to have sex with a woman, because he was teaching me how to have sex because I was a virgin, he's like, if you just stop, you're not going to satisfy the woman. And I'm going, I don't understand all this shit. And then finally, you know, I'm just trying to tell, maybe when you play the drums, the same beats after a while, you go shindo because it's boring is what I'm saying. So maybe shindo came from drummers who just were bored playing the basic beat, you know?
Well, I think a lot of it also has to do with when you start, you know, playing a certain instrument more often, after you keep playing the same beat after a while, you start throwing a few extra things in there just to kind of break up the monotony.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's why I wanted to play this at the end of the show, because Scotty Jensen starts out the song in a very interesting way. He hits you with a ton of bricks from the very beginning. I mean, this puppy just all of a sudden just takes off like a 747 airplane, where all of a sudden you just go right into the bass, you go right into drums, then you add the shindle effect of percussion, as we call it, more stuff, and it blows my mind. And then you come back, to the song itself, which is da 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 da, and it's almost like the start of the song doesn't necessarily sound like it's going to be you singing so sweet and nice, is what I'm saying.
Right.
You get that?
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that too. The music kind of comes, like you said, starts out kind of powerful, and then when the verse starts and singing starts, the music kind of settles down.
Yeah, settles down.
So
and
you
so
get into the mood of the lyrics and the tone and all that, and then when it gets back into the chorus, it kind of kicks up again a little bit.
And you see, folks, when I sense
more of the musical emotions in there, you know.
When I sent Scotty Jensen, which is let's say 30 days ago, the original MP3 of me just basically singing what I think it should be, and then I tell him the idea of the song, which he already got because of the connective issues with him. Every day there's connective issues between me and Scott. You know, it's like. It's amazing. Scotty Jensen, you could send him 40 to 75 emails or texts a day. He won't answer you. It doesn't matter how many you send, there's connective issues. And that's what the song is all about, is connective issues can be, you know, real connective issues where your cell phone doesn't work, right?
Right.
Or like I'm talking to this girl that I have in the Philippines, and their internet system literally gets wiped out whenever there's a storm because they live on an island. And it
right.
just wipes out the Wi-Fi because, you know, a lot of them don't have plug-in landline, they only have Wi-Fi, and it just blows it out. Then there's connective issues where we want to disconnect from other people, and we just don't call them back, and we don't send back an email, because we're afraid if we answer, Scotty just is afraid if he answers one text or email, he's locked in to answer like 20 that day, you see?
Well, I have mentioned to you a few times, sometimes when you've said, hey, I sent you all these texts, why didn't you answer? And I said, well, I was in the middle of doing something in the studio. And you're like, well, you couldn't just answer one of them? And I said, well, no, because then I have to answer the other ones. And
right,
then I
right.
get caught up in the conversation, and it takes me away from, you know, my frame of mind when I'm trying to be the bass
well,
player or
yeah.
the drummer or, you know.
That's what connective issues is about, because if you're a guy or a girl at work and your boyfriend or girlfriend or mother or father or kid is calling you 50 times, you can't answer or respond because then they're going to want another response and another response and another response. So connective issues, the song, is not just about where the equipment doesn't work. It's about when we need to disconnect.
Oh, you know, there was another interesting thing that you, I don't remember if it was a text message or if it was one of your MP3 ideas about connective issues. When you had said something about, and I was going to try to find a way of putting this in the song, but I wasn't able to, but something about there's a button on your phone that says ignore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I thought that was quite interesting, but I couldn't figure out how to get it in the song. So, but anyways, that is an interesting thought.
Yeah, well, we can, so. I did notice that because that was one of the best lines other than the actual chorus. Basically, the only thing that's left of the song for me is the concept itself, and then you always blame it on connective issues, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The rest is all Scotty Jensen, but that thing about ignore, we got to use in a different thing because there's a button on the phone that says ignore, which I find fascinating. Ignore.
Well, I know there was a button on the phone that I had when I was in a doctor's office or something like that, and you called one time, and I had to hit a button that said, I can't talk right now.
Yeah.
And then it showed up. I can't talk right now.
Yeah, some people
know,
have.
Did you tell that it was a button I pressed?
Yeah, well, no. Some people have sometimes that's what it does. Sometimes it's an app that automatically sends that message that is available to people. Some people have that.
Oh, okay.
There, you can press a button. This would be great for you. It says, I'm in a meeting right now, can't talk.
Yeah,
and they have that. I have that on my phone. And so, but I find the concept of there's a button on my phone that says ignore as a song that we could do that can go in a whole different direction. It has nothing to do with connective issues. There's a button. Let's show the people how we basically would start out with a concept like that. So Scott, there's a button on my phone that says ignore. And then we would start talking about ignoring calls, right?
Right. Or you could even say that line right there. There's a button on my phone that says ignore, and then
that's the way I feel the song is more of an emotional ballady kind of thing. There's a button on my phone that says ignore. You know, you sing it.
Yeah, right.
You sing it.
There's a button on my phone that says ignore.
Yeah, that's it. There's a button on my phone that says ignore. Keep going, Scotty. Let's show them how we do it. Just jam. Just let's keep taking it.
Tension's always building evermore.
Well, use the same line. There's a button on my phone that says ignore.
There's a button on my phone that says ignore.
There's a button on my phone that says ignore. Then I start putting
on my phone that says ignore.
There's a button on my phone that says ignore. Then I start putting in like total feeling and then of course I can't sing like Scotty Jensen does, but what he does is take this and then when you hear him do it, it's magical, buddy.
And you know, for all the people out there listening, when Scott Ross sends me one of his little musical ideas, he gets very emotional on some of these when he sings these.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes it's extremely raw because he might be calling from his car, so you hear the car engine and the wind flying by the, you know, the phone microphone and all that. But it's his emotion that a lot of times captures me. As an example I wanted to tell you, a friend of mine told me they listened to one of our songs, which was You Are the Mother of...
Yeah.
What's that title?
You're the Mother of the Son I Killed and the Kid Was Me.
Oh, the Kid Was Me. That's the name
of it. The
Kid
Was Me.
Right? Okay. Well, this person I talked to, they said they listened to that song and they listened to it twice and each time they broke into tears.
Yeah, I know.
Because there is so much emotion in there and so many different people can get different interpretations of what that means to them. You know, it could be all these little pictures in their mind that they get of what that really means or if it's a double meaning and all this. But like I said, when you originally sang that to me and sang some of the ideas and the emotion that was in your voice and when you were talking to me about it of what you wanted it to say, I remember getting deep into it and then getting emotionally attached to it myself. So I listened to that song also. When I listen to it, I can still get kind of choked up listening to it because I hear, you know, all that emotion in my voice that I was trying to convey.
Well, that's, you know, and it's funny because if you listen to, well, it's funny. Why would it be funny? It's not funny. You know, I hate people say, it's funny. It's not even funny. I should not even say that. So the song is a real story, folks. It's about, we all have somebody in our family that either got kicked out of our family by everybody or they left the family, and there's maybe one person that they still talk to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the song's about the one person talking to their mother and then realizing, I feel like I'm talking to a mother of a kid that I killed, and the kid was me. You get it?
Right, yeah.
Meaning, well, I don't know if people will get it unless they listen to that song a bunch of times, because if you put yourself in that position, let's say, you know, you had a brother who's kicked out of your family, and you were the only one in the family talking to your brother, and one day your brother was talking to you, and he was coming, he said, you know what? I feel like I killed somebody in your family, and now I realized the person that I killed was me. So it's all based on reality, truth.
Right, and one of the other concepts you had about that that you and I had discussed was there's people in jail that have been forgiven by the victims' families.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that, you know, literally killed somebody.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, and or they get released after 20 years or something, you know. And then there's families where there's just some weird sibling rivalry or something along those lines where the family never talks. The person's,
yeah,
like, accused and thrown in this mental jail and throw away the key, really, and not even based on much evidence. You know?
Well, that's, you know, that's a good point, Scott. And that's why I think the challenge with our music is to get people to listen to them over and over and over and over and over again, because there's a lot of real truth, like Scott's saying, in every one of these songs. Real life, real truth. And we've done it in a way that opens it up so you can put in whatever the exact circumstances are. And so when we're doing a song like even this one right now, I can feel it already. Because just imagine if you were the person on the other end of the phone when someone hits ignore.
Right.
There's a button on my phone that says ignore. People use it when they want to shut the door. In other words, you what does the person feel like who's on the other end? Because as soon as you call someone and you either hear their voicemail right away, you can picture them hitting decline.
Right.
Or if you hear it ring twice and it stops, you know they're hitting decline. Right?
Right.
So this song, really, I'm glad you didn't use it, because this song is a different song. This song is about being ignored, not about connective issues, and it's in a ballad way of like the mother. It's a more sad, serious type of deal, if you follow what I'm saying. So I'm glad you didn't use it.
Which one?
I'm glad you there's a button on my phone that says ignore is what it's called.
Oh, that, yeah, right.
You've helped us create, which we've done many times, a new song by not using that one line. If you listen to a song called You Build Me Up and You Put Me Down, which people have said they really like a lot, we did it the same way. Scott took You Build Me Up and You Put Me Down out of another song and created an entire song with the concept.
Right. I had it as a line in a verse.
Yeah.
Which was, it was effective, but wasn't as effective as the stronger meaning behind that line.
Well, I'm so glad you did that, because my whole pitch to Scott was I wanted to build a whole song based on You Build Me Up and You Put Me Down, and I didn't get through. I didn't do a good enough job to help him see that, so he didn't do that. I'm glad you didn't do it, because then you did it. When you listen to You Build Me Up and You Put Me Down, everybody out there can relate to somebody, a wife, a girlfriend, a friend, a mother, a father, a boss, who tells you how great you are one day and then rips the shit out of you the next day.
Right.
And you look at them like, what the hell? Yesterday you told me I'm great. Today I'm scum. Everybody.
So the same thing happened with last 5 days, next 5 days.
Yes. Because same thing happened.
Yeah, and I had that line as a chorus in another song, but I didn't sing it real good, which is probably good, because then you said, you know, that song has a lot, that line has much more meaning than it's getting.
Well,
in
yeah,
the song.
Yeah. Last so 5 days and next.
You write a song,
yeah,
around that. So
folks, I got to tell you something. We don't feel any weird feelings at all telling you to buy a download for $9.99, because if you listen to these songs 50, 100 times each, you will get not only your money's worth, but you will get a feeling that you're not alone going through all the things that you're going through in life. Now, we haven't figured out how to really sell that way or explain it that way. And remember, it's just Scott and I doing it. We haven't hooked up with any bigger record companies or put any real money towards it. One day we might. But, Scott, I'm telling you, man, you know, for $9.99 for 10 songs, okay? But with our songs, they got to come with an instruction. We got to start talking about this more, that these songs are not intended for you to just listen to once or twice. These are songs that are intended to listen to every day as a way to actually help deal with things that are going on in life. Now, we have not figured out how to explain that yet.
Well, we like these songs to be mind-provoking.
Yeah.
We want people to think, because there's so many different meanings in the different songs we have. It's not just one meaning, you know, like boy likes girl, you know, girl likes boy, kind of thing, and then they get each other and live happily ever after, you know. There's always songs like that. I'm not putting that down, but our songs, we're trying to be more thought-provoking than just the simplistic part of that. Although,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Song, we have songs like that too. But
I think you could take There's a Button on My Phone. There's a button on my phone that says ignore. People use it when they want to shut the door. I think you could take a piano or something and do a mother and son thing with something like that and almost be crying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a button on my phone that's, you know, folks, I'm not trying to impress you with my singing. I'm just trying to show you how Scott and I do it, okay? And so there's a button, you know, Scott, the problem Scott has with me is I sell everything with the same conviction and enthusiasm. He doesn't know what to do. He says talking to me is like having 1,000 choices for lunch, and he doesn't know which one to pick.
Right.
Which is another song you haven't done yet, because we have a promo for that one, too. So what happens is
I have 1,000 ideas already.
Yeah, Scott's sitting there with so many of them. But I'm just telling you, I have a feeling with this, because of the way it happened, because you didn't use that line, because I noticed it, too. There's a button on my phone that says ignore. I think that's just a heavy thing. And we'll wrap up today, because we have to keep this to a certain amount of time. So, Scotty Jensen, all I can say is I'll play out a little bit of the song when we go. But, you know, we've got to figure out a way between you and me, and then eventually maybe we'll have another record company or somebody. Or if anybody out there wants to help promote our band, our music, let us know, 818-538-8490, 818-538-8490. That could be you as an individual just wanting to email and work with us as a staff member. That could be if you want to invest into us. If you want Scotty Jensen to play a concert of these songs at your event, you can call us at 818-538-8490. You can email us directly at turnkeyselling@gmail.com. And, of course, the website, gensongs.net, you can have the email all over the place there, too. And so it's time, Scott, for us to start putting the word out to people, to saying, if you want to help us, promote us, we can't do it ourselves. You know what I mean? I believe that this music is so helpful to people, let alone entertaining, that we have. I believe I'm compelled, I am driven to find out a way, some point in some time, to get people to hear these songs. I don't care if I made no money on it, Scott. What I'm trying to say is I think there's an element to these songs that can help people, but they have to listen to them over and over and over again.
Well, you know, Sunday I played a benefit for a musician friend of ours that
right.
is has some problems with his health, and his family is going to be clobbered with medical bills and all that. So I was a part of a lot of musicians that were putting together a benefit, and I played a few songs at the benefit, and I played my original songs, our original songs.
Yes. You can say yours. It's okay. It's fine with me.
Okay. And they went over quite well, and there was one particular woman that came over that was all excited, and she wanted to go on the website right away, and she's interested in possibly being like, you know, help our fan club and get involved.
That's what we need, Scott. We can't do it alone anymore. I certainly can't, and I've been complaining to Scott for over a year now, which I'm sure you're tired of hearing, and I'm tired of doing it. We can't do it alone anymore. It's gone beyond just you and me now. We have to share this music with people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to be able to promote it ourselves. And we have to ask for help now, like in AA. We have to admit that we can't do it alone now. We can't.
Right.
So we need that person's help, and that's why we're going to start talking this way.
And, you know, the more help that we get, the better the music is actually going to end up getting, too, because we'll be able to put more energies and thoughts into the creative process and not have to worry so much about that aspect.
That's true. And because we own the business, we own the songs, we own the record label, we own the whole thing, we have a twist too. If some of you out there, you know, want a financial incentive of getting $1 or $2 for every album you can help sell, we can do that. So you said, we're not even using our power, Scott. We have ability to do all kinds of stuff that other bands and musicians can't do because of their contracts and the way they're set up.
Right, and like you and I talked before about the freedom that we have musically to do, write our songs whatever way we want. You know?
Yeah, so if you built up a little group and it started selling 1,000 albums a month and you got $1 each, that's $1,000 a month. If you hit the big time and helped us sell 1 million albums, that's $1 million, Scott. And we don't talk about this, and that's why I'm talking about it today, because I had to admit that I need help. You know, I can't do it alone, and I'm not going to get it all from Scotty Jensen, because I realize now that just doing the songs is a lot for Scotty Jensen. It's taken this long for me to understand that.
Well, I appreciate you understanding that.
Oh, yeah. So I need help now. So, you know, what I'm saying is we've got a really nice infrastructure. You know, we've got the website, and we've got YouTube, and we've got Twitter, and we've got you know, all
Don't we have Pinterest also?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have a whole infrastructure, but now we need people. And we can all, if some of you need a financial incentive to do that, or you want to make it a part-time or even a full-time job, we can talk about giving you a dollar or two per album. And so we haven't been using all the tools in our toolbox. It's time, because, Scott, no matter what I do to try to quit this thing, I just can't do it.
Right, and we got some song contests that I've entered, that and singing contests that we're waiting on hearing some of those results too. So we'll see what happens.
And our music,
we'll keep you all posted, ladies.
And our and our music can go into a self-help area. In other words, if you've got, if you like selling self-help, you know, like the Tony Robbins and listening to tapes, and I believe that our music can be sold to the business world in a way of saying this could help your people have a better attitude and a better mental frame of mind, which always helps people do their jobs better, sell better, and everything else. So give us a call. Let's get cooked up. Let's get connected. Can we admit we need help? Yeah, we need help. Do we want to sell out to a record company? No, not really. It depends on the deal they would give. They'd have to give us a huge deal, or we wouldn't do it, would we?
Right.
We just wouldn't do it. Now, if they offered us, you know, $5 million or something, we would definitely probably do it. But for a small amount, no, and I'm talking small amount of $50,000, $100,000, we'd have to say, wait a minute, the potential we're sitting on is so much bigger. And right now we don't have anybody telling us what to do, and we both like that.
Right, and I really feel, I seriously feel that some of our songs could be a hit if we get enough, if there's enough people that hear it.
Oh, and I should say, thanks for bringing it up. The other thing you could sell, folks, is you can license a song. You could take one of our songs, and let's say you got another artist who wanted to do it because you emailed it to him and you called him on the phone, and all of a sudden we came up with a contract, and let's say that contract was, you know, $50,000 up front. You would get 10% of that, $5,000. So you can take our songs, whether it's a hit, Scott sang with him singing it, we will license that to another singer. So you might sell one of our songs and make $5,000 up front, and then you might get, let's say we get, you know, 2% of the sales, and we'll give you 10% of that 2%. So, Scott, we're not explaining all the ways people can make money by helping promote us.
Right.
And that's kind of dumb. And that's my fault. Because I've been sitting here like,
you know, Scott, that's,
I'm like the alcoholic. I'm like the alcoholic sitting here for the last year who wants to quit drinking alone. And I'm saying, hey, man, I can't do it alone. I mean, I've done a lot, you know, but I can't get this into the huge numbers of people by myself, and then crying to Scott Jensen going, help me, man, help me send emails, when he's not even the guy to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, Scotty Jensen. You got to do more. You got to help me more. Meanwhile, this guy's got his hands full just doing the songs. And so, Scott, take one of these songs like there's a button on my phone that says ignore, Father Without a Family. Take one of these real emotional ballads and knock it out in 2 days like you did with some of those other ones, and let's see if we can get on track to get back to doing one song a week. And let me just say this, that listen to the way, the emotion that Scotty Jensen puts in, and we'll let him sing us out here.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah.